Life is full of obstacles. There was a trio of men who were walking kind of through the woods, and all of a sudden they came to a raging river. And they stood there on the side and looked at it and realized, we can't do this. What are we going to do? One of the men prayed and said, Lord, give me strength to cross this river. Poof. He had huge arms and big legs, got in the water, swam across, made it just fine. Second guy said, Lord, give me the tools to get across this river. He looked and poof, there was a rowboat right there tied. So he got on the rowboat and he rowed across. Third man said, Lord, give me the intelligence to get across this river. Poof. He turned into a woman. He got out the map and looked. Right around the bend was a bridge. Went down and crossed the bridge. Language can be an obstacle. In Denmark, there's a sign for a Copenhagen airline that said, we take your bags and send them in all directions. When translated into Chinese, Kentucky Fried Chicken slogan, finger licking good, came out, eat your fingers off. In a pamphlet for English speaking tourists who are renting a car in Tokyo was this statement. When a passenger of the foot heave in sight, tootle the horn. Trumpet him melodiously at first, but if he still obstacles your path, then tootle him with vigor. Which says some obstacles need tootling. A man found a cocoon. End of it was ripped open, and he could see the squirming around of that butterfly trying to get out. Sat down and just watched for a long time, and the butterfly kept struggling and struggling. Finally, the butterfly just quit. And he thought, surely he's given up. I got to help. Got out a pair of scissors and he clipped the cocoon open. The butterfly came out with a big old swollen body and little shriveled up wings. And the man thought, well, at any moment, he'll just kind of open up and become the beautiful butterfly and be able to take off. But the butterfly never materialized. He stayed this whatever from then on and lived his brief life with the inability to fly. You see, struggles have a purpose in our life. They're designed to help us discover what we're capable of, but even more so, they help us discover how important God is in helping us overcome those struggles. Obstacles help affirm God's presence in our life. Watch this.
Apollo 13 Commander Jim Lovell has more time in space, almost 24 days already, than any other man. And I asked him recently if he ever was scared.
Oh, well, I've had an engine flame out a few times in an aircraft and was kind of curious as to whether it was going to light up again, things of that nature. But they seem to work out.
Is there a specific instance in an airplane emergency when you can recall fear?
Well, I tell you, I remember this one time I'm in a Banshee at night in combat condition, so there's no running lights on the carrier. It was the Shangri-La, and we were in the Sea of Japan, and my radar had jammed, and my homing signal was gone because somebody in Japan was actually using the same frequency, and so it was leading me away from where I was supposed to be. And I'm looking down at a big black ocean, so I flip on my map light, and then suddenly, zap, everything shorts out right there in my cockpit. All my instruments are gone, my lights are gone, and I can't even tell now what my altitude is. I know I'm running out of fuel, so I'm thinking about ditching in the ocean. And I look down there, and then in the darkness, there's this green trail. It's like a long carpet that's just laid out right beneath me, and it was the algae, right? It was that phosphorescent stuff that gets churned up in the wake of a big ship, and it was just leading me home. Now, if my cockpit lights hadn't shorted out, there's no way I'd have ever been able to see that. So, you never know what events are going to transpire to get you home.
You never know what events are going to transpire to get you home. You know, we look at things that go on in our life and we label them good, bad, I don't like this, I don't want this. But there are occasions that those things we don't want turn out to be the very best things that could ever happen to us. David had an obstacle. It was called a giant. Goliath stood in his way, in the way of the nation of Israel at that time. What did God do? God came in and gave him strength to face that giant. Gideon faced fear. That was his obstacle. What did God do? He came in and gave him courage to face his fear. Jehoshaphat faced troubles. What did God do? He came in and gave him the ability to face his troubles. Well, today we're going to be looking at Samuel. And what we're going to find out is Samuel's life can simply be described as a life of obstacles. And God gave him the support that was necessary to overcome those obstacles. First obstacle that Samuel had. In fact, if you want to go ahead and get where I'm going to be, 1 Samuel chapter 1. The first obstacle that Samuel had, his mother couldn't conceive. Now, admittedly, that's probably the biggest obstacle to overcome right there. But his mother couldn't conceive. And I did some research and found out, research has shown that reproduction is hereditary. If your biological mother didn't have children, you won't either. I wanted to see how long that one would take. Samuel was kind of on a time schedule. God had a moment for him to appear, and it had to coincide with these other things that were taking place. Look at Samuel 1:2. Samuel's dad had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Look at verses 5 and 6. And Samuel's dad loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord would close her womb. So she sought a solution. And that's the first part of this story. She thought, well, if this is my problem, my obstacle, then I'm going to go to the Lord and say, Lord, here, I lay it out. Here's my problem. Here's my obstacle. Father, do something about it. Look at verse 10 and 11. Hannah, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then we will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. That's an interesting question. Why would the Lord close a womb and then open it later? Well, Jan and I had that experience. Jay talked about the same one. We were 5 years before our first son was born. Now, I've wondered about that, and why would the Lord have done that? But it was all timing. It was timing because had we had children when we were scheduling them, we'd have been all done before the boys that we actually have now were even born. And before those boys would have found their wives and then produced the most intelligent, talented, and beautiful grandchildren. And we would have missed all of that by having these kids too soon. God worked his time schedule out so that he could accomplish his purposes in their lives. That's what he was doing with Samuel. It was important to the timing of the events that were going on around that moment that Samuel came at that exact time, exact place, so he could be where God wanted him to be, when God wanted him to be there. Now, the second obstacle that Samuel faced came from the influence of Eli and his sons. Now, if you don't know the context of this, Eli was the priest of that era, and his sons were sort of the sub-priests. They helped him in doing the religious duties that were required at that time. Now, when you read the story, you'll find out such things as Samuel 2:12. Now, the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. NIV calls them scoundrels. They had no respect for God, yet they were doing the duty of the priest. Now, it kind of raises a an interesting question. Can you be religious and not know the Lord? Yeah. I spent the first 18 years of my life as one of the most religious kids at our church growing up, and I didn't know the Lord. I knew about Him. I could tell you all the stuff you wanted to know, but I didn't have a personal relationship with Him because I had bypassed that in order just to do church life. These guys were religious, but they did not know the Lord. There's a great difference in knowing about God and knowing God. If you can imagine trying to learn your job from people that have no clue themselves, you can realize why this was an obstacle in Samuel's life. Here comes this young kid just weaned from his mom, and that doesn't necessarily mean when you are I can't think of the word. You no longer need the bottle, you know, or nursing. There you go. My wife knows these words. And you're able to eat on your own whenever that moment is. You're not weaned at that point. He was closer into maybe right around teenager, right before teenage years. So he had a little bit of concept of what was going on and had an understanding of the cultural practices around him. But when he went in and was going to assume these religious duties, he needed somebody to show him what to do. But the people that were showing him what to do weren't doing them right, because the next verse is Samuel 2:17. Thus the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men despised the offering of the Lord. They were doing a job, but they had no regard for God. They didn't have that devotion that made this a spiritual moment for them and a way of doing ministry before God. So Samuel's trying to learn his job from people that have no respect for it. And so that became an obstacle for him. Look at First Samuel 2, verse 29. It was not uncommon in that day when there seemed to be a path that the people were following, and they wouldn't get off that path. They were in it. That's called a rut. They were stuck in it and wouldn't get out of it. God would send a prophet along who would basically say, look, guys, you got to break this. You got to change. And here's what he said. He said, why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling, and honor your sons before me by making yourselves fat with the choicest of every offering of my people Israel? Therefore, the Lord God of Israel declares, I indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now, the Lord declares, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming when I will break your strength, the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. Does that not sound a whole lot like what the prophet said to Asa last week? Remember, last week he said, God is with you when you're with him. That doesn't mean that God is not present, but God is present but withholding the favor of that presence because we are not respecting the presence. Same thing that was going on with Asa is going on in the lives of these men. God is there, but we're not having anything to do with him. So instead of their struggles drawing them to God, they let their struggles become stumbling blocks. They were just simply falling over life following that. Ezekiel said this, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and have put right before their faces the stumbling block of their iniquity. It's kind of like instead of seeking God to clear the path, they're rejecting God and having to step over obstacles as they go to try to get out of there. Now, here's the third obstacle of Samuel's life, and it was that there was no word of the Lord during that time. God was silent. Look at this in Samuel 3:1, 1 Samuel 3:1. Now, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. You know, when God is silent, our little imaginations go wild. We begin to think that he's absent, that he's uninterested, that he's incapable, that he's uncaring. In fact, if during that silence stuff happens that we don't want in our lives, do you know what we think? God's forsaken me. God's given up on me. God hates me. You see, our imagination fills in that silence with something, and it's usually wrong with imagining what God is trying to do. Habakkuk had that same struggle. In Habakkuk, God is telling the prophet what he plans to do. But before he gets into that, Habakkuk tells God how frustrated he is that he can't feel God's presence in his life. And he says, God, don't you look around and look at this mess we're in. Look at the problems of our life. Look at our society. This thing's going down the tubes. Where are you, God, and why aren't you stepping in? And then God says to Habakkuk, he says, Habakkuk, if I really let you know all that's going on right now, you couldn't handle it. You couldn't take it in. Because just because I'm silent doesn't mean I am inactive. I am doing things in your life that if I were to tell you, you wouldn't be able to believe it. And see, if you now read back into the story of Samuel, that's exactly what you see. If in that moment you say, boy, God is silent, he must not be doing anything. No, no. He has had a woman with a closed womb open up to conceive a child. He has had a priest whose sons and he combined are vile and inappropriate to their job. He has challenged them and told them, I'm going to get you out of the way. And technically, he was saying, I'm going to replace you with someone else. Who's that going to be? It's going to be Samuel. So he is working through all of these obstacles in Samuel's life to get him ready for the day that he steps into position and brings a godly influence back into the nation. Obstacles attempt to prevent, divert, detour, stop, discourage. They become a barrier, a hurdle, a stumbling block, an obstruction, an impediment, a hindrance, a snag, a catch, a drawback, a hitch, a handicap, a deterrent, a complication, a difficulty, a problem, or a disadvantage. But it doesn't matter what you call them. If we give in to them and let that obstacle stop us or interfere with us following after God, it's become an excuse. You see, God is saying, you come with me. And if we say, oh, God, sorry, I can't. I've got this obstacle in my life. I've got this hindrance. I've got this drawback. I've got this handicap. I just can't do it. Then all you've done is made an excuse before God as to why you will not follow him. Benjamin Franklin said this, he that is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else. Here's another way of putting that. If we're willing to make excuses, we are unwilling to change. But though we allow our obstacles to become a hindrance to us, our obstacles are not a hindrance to God. Our God is able to accomplish his purposes in and around us. If he is moving us along, those obstacles do not have to be a hindrance to what God wants to accomplish. Look at 1 Samuel 2:35. He said, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what my heart and my soul, what's in my heart and my soul. And I will build him an enduring house, and he will walk before my anointed always. See, God is saying, I've got a plan I'm working out in Samuel's life. And that plan is involving adjusting some things around him that would seem to be obstacles so that I can clearly put him in the place I need him to be when I need him to be there. And you know what we would probably do? We'd probably say, but God, wait. Look at what he's got going against him. Look at his upbringing. Look at the problems. Look at the economic struggles that he's had. Look at all the things that go together to create his life. God, you're being too hard on him. Don't try to change all of that so that he can accomplish what you want. He's got obstacles in his life. You know what the number one question that physical therapists are asked when someone has a knee replacement? Number one question they're asked, don't you know I've just had surgery? People, they come in, they say, okay, get up. Wait a minute, I just had surgery. Let me sit here. Let me lie here. I'm in pain. Don't you know that? And they don't care. They come in and say, no, you're getting up, and you go, and you get better as a result of that. And sometimes we look at God and say, God, let me live within my excuses. Don't you know how hard it is for me? And God says, no, get up. Get up. We're going to go beyond those things. An artist in Mexico lost his right hand when he was creating this sculpture. He then began to learn to chisel and carve with his left hand. And he finished the statue. You know what he named it? In spite of. You see, there was David with a challenge. And in spite of that challenge, God gave him victory over a giant. Goliath was not able to stand when David had the strength to defeat him. You look at Gideon's challenge, and in spite of that challenge, God gave him courage to face his fear. Jehoshaphat, he had the challenge of trouble. God gave him the ability to overcome that trouble. And now in Samuel's life, all these obstacles in his background, God gave him the support to go over. You look at what God did through those men in spite of those obstacles, and you realize it's not them, it's God. I read a thing earlier this week that some time back, and I don't know when this was done, someone took like the top 400 people who would have been described at that time in history as a success. And they went back and examined their lives, and every one of them had this in common: obstacles that they had to overcome in order to be the success that they were later. Why do we have obstacles? Because obstacles show us what we're capable of, but they also show us how much God helps us to accomplish those things. Here's the secret of a God with us life. God provides whatever it takes for us to rise above whatever we face. God provides whatever it takes for us to rise above whatever we face. Here it was in Samuel. Look at chapter 3, verse 19. Summary of Samuel's life. Key words. Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. There's our expression. Samuel, one of the men that has had that said of him, the Lord was with him. So Samuel had that, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. All Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again to Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. You see, what that word confirmed means? It means that God demonstrated the fact that he was going to build up and support Samuel. Confirm. It's not just for this singled out man in the Old Testament. That's what God does for all of us. He demonstrates how he will build us up and support us in our life so that we recognize we are not a product of what we have accomplished. We are a product of what God has done in our behalf. It would have been as though God was saying, whatever it takes for Samuel to be my prophet, I'll provide that. You know, people have said forever that Christianity is a crutch. Ever heard people say that? It's a crutch for weak people. Years ago, I broke my foot. I couldn't get around. I couldn't walk. I had a cast on. So the doctor gave me a pair of crutches. And you know what? With those crutches, I could move around. I could move from here to there. I could get mobile again because those crutches gave me the support I needed while my foot was healing up. You know, I'm willing to wear whatever crutch God provides if it allows me to walk with him. I need the crutch. I need the support of God. Here's what David said, Psalm 56. He said, you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling. Why? so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. David said, God, you've accomplished a miracle. You brought me from death to life. You've made me belong to you in relationship. And you've also strengthened me so that I'm not stumbling over all these obstacles that get thrown in my path. And what you've done that for so that I might be able to walk with you. That's my goal. It's the same thing that David had said earlier in the psalm. He said, the Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Now, here's some hard questions. What's going to stop that? What is going to make God accomplishing what concerns me impossible? What obstacles do I have that are bigger than God's promises? You see, if I all of a sudden start challenging what God has said because I look at my life and say, oh, I'm the exception. Nobody has the problems I have. Nobody has an obstacle like this in their life. Nobody had a dad like I had. Nobody was molested as a child like I was. Nobody has this infirmity on them. Nobody has been crippled like I have been crippled. Nobody's got the problems I've got. Then what we've done, we've tried to somehow put a little caveat in the promises of God says, God will do all of these things for everybody, but not me. Because I've got obstacles in my life. No, folks, there is nothing in our lives that's beyond God dealing with so that he can accomplish what concerns us. Andrew Murray wrote tremendous books back in the 50s, 60s. In one of those, he said, God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life that is wholly yielded to him. In other words, if we cry out like Hannah did and say to God, God, here's my sorrow, here's my misery, here's my obstacle, then God will step in the midst of that confession and say, here, I'll take it. Let me now work it through to what's best in your life. Either we value God and seek his help, or because of our pride, we are left to struggle alone. Proverbs says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. It's almost as though God is saying, I give you a choice. Do you want me to clear your path and help you through your obstacles so that I can accomplish things in your life? Or do you want to just struggle? Your call. God's promise is available. Our pride, the interference. Here's our takeaways today. Number one, facing obstacles is a natural part of life. They're required for life. We're going to face obstacles. Number two, obstacles are not the problem. Allowing those obstacles to interfere with what God wants to accomplish in us is the problem. If we use an obstacle as an excuse to being with God, we will lose out on the many benefits of God being with us. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. What Jude saw was a God that is able to help us when we face obstacles we can't get through. To be able to step in and make that just simply a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block. And be able to get us through so that God can be honored by the life that he produces when we're faithful to him. And then that promise at the end, it's kind of a before all time. It's like he can do that to cover things in the past. He can do that to deal with things in the present. And he's got me covered for things in the future. Because that's the kind of God he is. The God who steps in and supports us in our obstacles. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the morning. Thank you for the attention of the folks. Father, I thank you that your messages seem to hit each of us in an area that we seem to somehow keep the lid on until we come into this place. And you're able to take that lid off and get your word into our hearts and show us there's a better way. Lord, so many of us struggle needlessly. So many of us fight the fight in frustration rather than in submission to you. God, give us the courage to realize that you are our present help. When we face these kinds of obstacles, you step in the midst of us and you build us up and you support us and you help us to live life in spite of those obstacles. God, thank you for being faithful. Thank you that you're faithful to us even when we are unfaithful to you. You cannot stop being faithful. So, Lord, thank you and giving us the privilege of partnering with you for the success of our life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We got one more to go in our series. Joseph. We're going to look at Joseph because here's a guy that he spent a lot of years in prison for something he didn't do. And yet God put him in the highest position that he could in the nation of Egypt. It's going to be a great story. You'll want to come back. Well, it looks like Buster is leaving us. I'm sure he's not leaving the building. I'm sure he's going back there to get situated so you can go back and congratulate him on his 92nd birthday. So when you get done, before you leave, you go back there and be a part of that with him. All right?